welcome to the after party. It's your boy, Jay Connor.
And this is Alex Hardy.
And today we are calling the congregation together to discuss the latest gospel from Reverend Deacon Kendrick Lamar. Just to remind people, the after party is a succinct 20-minute reactionary opinion on major moments in Black pop culture, as far as like award shows, television events, book releases, albums, you know, sexual conquests, whatever the fuck.
So yes.
Today we are here to discuss Kendrick Lamar's new album and a little backstory on it. Contrary to casual fans and popular belief, this is actually Kung Fu Kenny's fourth studio album, with his last offering, To Pimp a Butterfly, dropping in 2015. We're happy to announce that this new record debuted at number one in the country with 610,000 units sold to outsell the great Drake, who outsold, to outsell the great Drake, who sold only 510,000 records of his new More Life release. And it's also had the biggest opening of any 2017 album. So congratulations to Mr. Kendrick Lamar for that. So with that being said, with Kendrick setting the bar so high, does Damn meet expectations?
I think it does. I have been listening to it not as long as everybody else, before good 3 or 4 days now. And I'm just as pleased with it as I kind of expected to. Actually, I didn't have any expectations, but I'm very pleased with it. It has some very radio-friendly, some obvious radio-friendly kind of songs, which may be a good move for him. Because some of his songs, I feel like you need the visual. Not some of them. The visual enhances the song so much. So even when the song doesn't come across, it doesn't strike you at first, the visual definitely enhances. But this is one that has, I think, some pretty strong songs on its own. I'm pleased with it. I like To Pimp a Butterfly more so far, but I still like
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting you have that opinion, because I definitely love this record. I definitely love it. Let's just get that out the way. I appreciate the fact that each release of his has a different sonic quality and you know, intent behind it. With Section 80, you know, he was kind of coming into his own as an artist. With Good Kid, Mad City, you know, he had the concept album. With To Pimp a Butterfly, you know, it was definitely a reaction to everything that was going on in the world, as far as, you know, us getting gunned down and all this other, you know, systematic oppression and all this other shit. And this was just like a creative outlet for him to do that. And Damn was just on some like, fuck y'all niggas. Like,
I agree.
I'm getting back to the bars. So it's funny. It's interesting that you mentioned that you preferred To Pimp a Butterfly, because I am on the record as saying that, like, I wasn't particularly fond of To Pimp a Butterfly, but I actually had this conversation yesterday, because I always get irritated that people can't differentiate between their affinity for a body of work versus its quality. So even though sonically, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly didn't suit my particular interests, I can still acknowledge it for the incredible piece of the incredible body of work that it is. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Like, just because it didn't appeal to me sonically, doesn't mean that it doesn't take anything away from it. And a lot of times people are just so quick to be like, oh, this shit is whack, I don't like it, fuck it, it's garbage. And it's like, no, nigga, just because you don't like this shit doesn't mean it is garbage. So a majority of To Pimp a Butterfly I didn't particularly care for, because just sonically it just wasn't what I wanted to hear. But I can still hear the music and be like, this is some quality shit. It just ain't for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and I mean,
right.
Of course, I like, you know, All Right, King Kunta, a bunch of other shit. Like, there are records on there I legitimately love. But overall, I much prefer Damn or Good Kid, Mad City, because sonically it's more appealing to me. You get what I mean?
Right. I could understand that. I've actually heard, not even to compare them at all, but the same from a lot of people with Donald Glover's last, or what is it?
Yeah.
Awaken
My Love.
Yeah, that I thought it was great, but and mind you, I've never heard anything else from him, so that was my first time hearing it. But a lot of people said, while they could acknowledge that it was good, it wasn't for them, even though they liked his music and other shit. But so I hear the same argument from Kendrick fans too. I don't know. I like this. I mean, yeah, he's rapping more. He's definitely much more aggressive than To Pimp a Butterfly. I just think that To Pimp a Butterfly, I guess it was definitely a very cathartic moment. It felt like, and because I identify it in terms of what I was going through when I got really dived into that album. So that may be maybe why I have a little more of a connection to it. But yeah, I definitely love this album. I think he did a great fucking job. I think that, I don't know why the Rihanna song, I mean, I like it, but it just seemed it was new for him. I'm liking it. I hear like an Drake-ish. Obvious radio.
Drake-ish?
Yes. In a sense. But like it was just like okay, and now we need a radio song. It I don't know.
Well, especially within like the sequencing of the album. Like you're just like, you know, Damn is just so dark. And then all of a sudden you hear like, you know, loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. And you're just like, huh? Like everything is so dark and aggressive beforehand.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a little bit jarring. To that point, though, the only song that I really just do not give a fuck about is Ya. I'm just like, why is this song here?
Okay. I don't listen. You're right. I don't listen to that song either.
I could completely do away with Ya. You eliminate Ya. And see, this is the problem, too, is that one of the rules that I have about, well, not classic albums, but I have, you know, hip hop arguments with folks. And one of the rules is that the Flawless album has to have no bad songs on it. So if anybody ever tries to have an argument with me about how great this album is and they say it's a Flawless album, guess what the first song is that I'm name dropping?
Yeah.
Motherfucking Ya. That shit is whack. And I can say that from a passionate place.
Yeah. I've yet to, like, the only time I heard the U2 song, it was like, okay, let me hear this U2 shit. Like, I've never listened to it since then. Was it Triple X or whatever the hell? It's not bad. It's just like, you know, okay, you know, you're trying to have your, you know, your international white woman moment. I get it. But it's definitely not something I seek out. But DNA, though?
DNA go hard. But yeah, Ya is just the Capadonna of the album. It's just like, nigga, why are you here? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, what are your standouts on here since you want to talk about DNA?
Definitely DNA. It's aggressive. I like the feel of it. It's definitely, you could, you know, practice your twerk or whatever, your twerk on a handstand on a wall to it as well, in addition to representing for your blackness and the ancestors and all of that good shit. It has both meanings, both sides. Also, especially when the beat changes, that's when it really, I want to pop out the booty shorts and embrace the springtime weather. But Duckworth actually is the one I've listened to probably more. I love a good storytelling song, and it just takes me back to like, I got a story to tell, and songs like that.
We're gonna talk about that in a second. But okay. any other song, any other standouts?
I like Fear.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Feel is the one. Feel.
Yeah. Feel is dope. Yeah. I like the introspection of it. Yeah. Feel is a great record. My standouts are, of course, Duckworth, DNA, but I really like Element because somebody's catching it on Element. I don't know who it is. He digging in somebody's ass in Element, because one of the things that people said when they heard Heart Part 4 was that he was dragging Big Sean. So people were like, okay, when the album comes, somebody's about to catch it. And though he doesn't have the same aggression as he did on Heart Part 4, where he was clearly, you know, bombing on somebody, he's definitely digging in somebody's ass on Element. Like, you know, you can get this if you want this. You know what I mean? Just don't get it fucked up. The rest of this album is on some other shit, but you can still come get this shit. If you want this work, you can have it.
Yeah, I'm a fan. It's just more straightforward. Yeah, it overall, I mean, just backtracking, like just looking at the track list, it's just straightforward. Not to say that interludes are necessary, but like they kind of frame it and give at like a different level of character. Not even interludes, but like, it's just a musicality that Pimp a Butterfly had, I guess, that this doesn't have.
What do you feel about all the, what's the name, Kid Capri interludes?
It's kind of, I don't think they add, like if you took them off, I don't think the album would suffer.
I get what he's trying to do as far as like take hip hop back to like its, you know, its purest form and show you like I'm on some rap shit. Like, you know, you got the art, you got the fancy art piece last time. Now it's just about bars and just fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And I get that, but I just felt like they were a bit gratuitous, because it'd be one thing if they were like occasional, but it felt a little bit too mixtapey for me. You know what I mean? As far as like, yeah, and I didn't really feel like they added anything. Like if they were just like subtle reminders of, yeah, I'm on my hip hop shit, cool, but like they're on damn near every song. And it's just like,
it sounds
again,
like some shit like he was in the studio smoking together one day and it was like, oh shit, you know what? You should do some drops. And that's how it happened. I don't feel like they really are necessary. I don't think they had to. They
don't detract from the album, but they don't add from it necessarily either.
Exactly.
So yeah, we're just kind of apathetic to it. So speaking of Duckworth, I would say it's safe to say that it's already one of the illest storytelling songs we've heard. But to that point, what the hell ever happened to storytelling in rap music? Because that's the first response I had when I heard it. I was like, niggas just do not tell stories anymore. We grew up in an era where we had, you know, Biggie and Slick Rick and Nas and all these people, Jay-Z, whoever else, always telling these, you know, dope ass crazy stories. And it's like, these niggas just do not tell stories at all anymore. That was a prerequisite. Even fucking Kwame was telling stories and shit in his music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But these niggas like do not tell stories ever in their music.
I just feel like, because a lot of this, I don't know, a lot of it, the depth that is just not there. Like a lot of the songs are very much like in the moment, party, fuck around, have a good time, bitches, hoes, drugs, Molly, Percocet, and that's that. I just feel like, I don't know, I just like his level of introspection, because he's a great storyteller, and that he doesn't take himself, he's self-deprecating in it, like in his storytelling, and it works for him. A lot of people just definitely don't have that same level of, I guess, honesty and showing like the unpretty shit. He does, I think, a lot of really good things in this song, especially because I think I heard, who was it? Kid, not Sway. Someone talking about how they were surprised that he held this long to tell this story. Obviously, when this is something he must have known for like a really long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that he,
I think it was Ninth Wonder that said that.
Yes, yes, yes. He was talking about the making of it. I just think it's definitely just one of the things that shows his superiority. Like, I don't know the greatest rapper alive. I don't have any dog in that fight. But I just think it definitely shows, like, why he is one of my favorite, like, lyricists and storytellers. He's a good way with words. Great, great rhyming. Great storytelling. Huge. Bigly. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, Duckworth is just, it's just so damn powerful. It's just such a powerful record. You know what I mean? And then the fact that, like, he says, I'm trying to remember the exact quote. I think it was, because if Anthony killed Ducky, Top Dog could be serving life while I grew up without a father and die in a gunfight. And then, like, at the end of the song, you hear the gunfight, the gunshot, and it takes you right back to the beginning of the album.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, is this entire album like a concept of what would my life be like if, you know what I'm saying, if he killed my father? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he killed my father, this is the album that would have came out, or this would be the person I am. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he's, that's, you know, so aggressive and like that's deep as fuck.
A big person in your life. Like, oh, shit, you could have killed my dad.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine how that had to have been when they first met. That had to be fucking awkward.
Oh, you the nigga from the chicken spot.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, hey, you saved my life, my nigga. Hey, thanks for not shooting me up. Good looking out.
Right. Shout out to
real ass nigga for not killing me. You know what I'm saying? The extra biscuits will save your ass every time. But you know what, though? Duckworth makes me think, too, is you have artists. I mean, the only people that are really moving units these days is Drake, Kendrick, and boring ass J. Cole, right? If they're the only cats moving units, why aren't labels putting more money behind artists of this caliber instead of selling all this fast food rap music? Because nobody's buying this. I mean, people love to shake their ass to Future and French Montana and all this other shit, but nobody's buying that shit. So if people are clearly investing and putting their money where their mouth is in vast qualities, because it's not just that Drake and Kendrick and J. Cole are selling well. These niggas are putting up like stupid, crazy numbers. So the audiences are clearly telling you, we want higher quality music. And whether or not you're a fan of Drake, you still have to give him his props, because he's definitely one of the best rappers out. Hands down, no question. He doesn't make music for me, but you can easily, I have to acknowledge him as being a talented.
I was just going to say, I'm more annoyed with him than anything else, like more often than not, but I respect, like you say, there's some quality there. It's not for me particularly, and he's boring to me in some ways. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of Drake is corny, but still, someone likes it. A lot of someones like it, obviously. But as far as your previous point, the same argument is made for, like, you know, movies, when they have these big movies, and oh shit, who would have thought this black movie would have put out these big numbers? The same reason, you know, as far as like them not investing into quality product and quality, you know, quality materials. They're always surprised. Oh shit, these people actually do like. You don't have to give them trash every time. You can actually invest and give them something that, you know, reflects them or of substance. And
we don't have to make another 15th Star Transformers movie. We can give them, we can give them a Get Out or a Hidden Figures or something like that. Yeah. So I think we have to address the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that after four studio albums, a slew of mixtapes, Overly Dedicated being fire, his self-titled EP. I think that dropped in like 09. Mm-hmm. That shit was jamming. The Untitled Unmastered compilation and guest appearances where he's just been tearing all these rappers' asses up. Is it time for Kendrick to take his place amongst the all-time greats?
Now, I answer this as, like, I'm not the most hippity-hoppity, you know, historian, but to me, he's one of my favorites, I think, as far as people.
That's not what I asked. I didn't ask if he was one of your favorites. I said, is it time for Kendrick to take his place among the all-time
greats? I say yes.
Not the greats, the all-time greats. Don't try to circumvent the question, nigga. Have courage in your conviction.
All time. I would say yeah. Sure, why not?
I would be inclined to agree. Primarily because when we have artists, when we look at the all time greats, right? When we say if we have like the Mount Rushmore of rap, if we're gonna keep it a buck, the only name that's on the Mount Rushmore of rap and that has put out consistent music for a long period of time and has that longevity, actually three people, I'll give it to, is Nas, Jay-Z, and KRS-One. Those are the only three where people say, oh, those are in my top five all time, and you have a long body of work to back that up. Almost every last one of them other niggas was only hot for about 2-3 years, 4 or 5 at the most. You know what I'm saying? Like when you look at people like Pac, you look at people like Big, you look at people like Rakim, you look at people like Slick Rick, you look at people like BDK, you know, Big Daddy Kane, you look at people like Big Pun. None of these niggas had these long, luxurious careers. A lot of these niggas was in and out. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we exalt these people for having like 2 or 3 great albums. And a lot of times it's just 2 albums that are like, you know, really good or whatever. And then they noticeably fell off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Niggas,
I guess it's the same.
People will give Rakim his due for, you know, changing the game and everything else as far as like, you know, rhyme patterns and everything else. Because, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the impact Rakim had on the rap industry. Yeah. I'm saying that he had his moment and then that nigga hasn't done shit in about like 18, 19, 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's still crazy young relative to other rappers. You know, he's still like early 40s at the most. You know what I mean? BDK had his moment, fell the fuck off afterwards. You know what I mean? And it's, if these are the people that, you know, if these are the barometer for what all-time greats is, why the fuck can't Kendrick be in that talk? Kendrick has a much better body of work, a much better track record and discography than damn near every last one of them niggas. You know what I'm saying? He's been in the game longer. He's proven that he's been able to maintain this quality of level for a longer period of time. Because I would start with him with 09, with the Kendrick Lamar EP, and then go from that to Overly Dedicated to Section 80, and then just go from there and just, you know, keep moving up. Like, he's always been dropping high quality shit. And it's kind of like they say, like in sports, that in order to be considered a Hall of Fame, were you the best or one of the best at your position throughout your career? Kendrick is fucking better than everybody. He's stomping a mud hole in his competition. What rapper out today is you going to say is better than Kendrick? Drake? Big Sean?
You're definitely going to get that argument from me, not from those two niggas.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is that the people that his competition are, it's still debatable, and it's a small window and it's a small scope of people that you would say are even on Kendrick's level. So clearly, he's been upper echelon for an extended period of time. Niggas got to give him his due. And I said the same thing about Kanye, not as far as him being an all-time great rapper, because he just doesn't have that skill set as far as just being like super nasty rapper. I like Kanye on the mic, but he's not fucking with, you know, the Black Thoughts or anybody or Pharoah Monch or anybody like that as far as like bar for bar. But if we're going to go song for song and compare his discography to anybody else's, Kanye belongs to be up there too. You take away Yeezus and he arguably has one of the best discographies in the history of rap music.
I thought Yeezus was pretty crap-tastic.
And I mean, the only other people that are on that trajectory are people like Big Crit. And shit, Joey Badass about to fuck around. He you know, he come around with another couple good ones and he might fuck around and be in that conversation at some point too. You know what I'm saying? But all that to say, niggas got to give Kendrick his motherfucking due.
And he's still very young. Got definitely a long. I think he has a good long career ahead of him.
Oh yeah, he's yeah he.
I don't know what other things he is planning to dip into, but I think that he's definitely very early in the game. He's still growing. Obviously, he's still in the stage of like he's not complacent. He's still actively improving. His shit is definitely improving from project to project. And yeah, I think he's definitely going to stake out a good claim for himself as being in the top.
Word.
Top to ever do this shit.
And I love Redman. Redman is my number one all-time favorite rapper of all time. That being said, the last album he put out that was good was Dox the Name. Redman, everything since Dox the Name has been, he's had a good 20 years of garbage-ass music. And niggas still call him an all-time great. You can't, you gotta give Kendrick, you gotta give Kendrick his motherfucking due.
He hasn't had a slump yet.
And I honestly don't think he's capable of having a slump. If anything, he might put out a release that we don't like, but I can't see him putting out a whack release.
I don't think so. I think he's too self-aware, and I think even though it's not my favorite of his releases, it still shows that he has an incredible like dedication to just his production value, his lyricism. It's not just some bullshit he puts out. It's not just a collection of good and terrible songs like most albums are these days. This is like a body of work that works together. I mean, Loyalty, it's cool, but it's not my favorite. But I'm glad it's there because he needed something like an obvious radio song. I think that's probably the most obvious one that's on the album. But like you said, it's not my favorite, but it's still a great album. I think it still shows, I don't think anyone, most of his peers on their best day could have produced something similar or of similar quality. And yeah, it's definitely going to stay on rotation. Not all of the songs, but and he still has his moments. I meant to say, just like all rappers, even though he's a fave, he still has his troubling. He still makes his troubling statements.
Uh-oh.
His relationship with women has never been something that's been like exemplary. It shows in his like artwork and in his videos, and like women are very much like placeholders and like things to be protected, things to be fought over, things to be, like things like that. Like it's and his mom, except for his mom, but and his bitch. But the rest of it is just like, his relationship with women has never been like, oh, that's something you should, as far as like something you should model your behavior after. But not to say that rappers support that. Rappers are seek out to be that kind of figure. But yeah.
Anyway. Are you speaking specifically about the Humble record or just in general?
Let me see, Humble. I mean, just in general, like just the way he regards women, the way he uses women in his videos, the way, he uses like the imagery. Yes, that video in particular, I guess, since it's on the visual we have to use. But yeah, just the way, just listen to the album, the way he talks about women. It's, the bar is low these days for rappers. I mean, so he at least speaks about his bitch with some level of affection. So I guess that's something.
Shout out to niggas talking about I love my bitch. Which is one of the most contradictory statements of all time when you declare your adulation and affinity for a woman that you refer to and demean as a bitch. So shout out to niggas out there talking about
good grits, Anderson Paak.
Shout out to niggas that love their bitches. But any final thoughts on this album?
I think he did a good job. He definitely is still one of my favorites. I mean, I definitely think Malibu will get more listens straight through than this will. Not to say that, that's kind of apples and oranges, but as far as a rapper in that same kind of category, but I like it.
The fuck?
I
no.
Will still listen to it.
No, there's no comparison between Malibu and the fuck, nigga? No.
I'm talking about just rap albums in general. It's rap albums I'm listening to back to front.
Malibu is not a rap album. Please don't let's have this conversation right now. Anyway, Malibu is not a rap album.
We're not talking about that. Anyway. I like it. I'm still going to listen to Butterfly, I think, over this one more in the end. I think that there are, yes, with the exception of Ya and that U2 song. And I don't love the song Love, I think, was the car. Other than that, it's a pretty good album. He did his thing. There's no whack song. There's no no aggressively whack songs like on Drake's album. There are several, but it's a good album overall.
Okay, yeah. Kendrick is my guy. I love Kendrick. He's the best. He's representing the West Coast, nigga. West, motherfucker. Goonie Goo Goo, nigga.
Goonie Goo Goo.
But yeah, we love Kendrick out here. Kendrick is the chosen one. Definitely love the album. And if you are comparing this album to previous all-time great albums as opposed to his contemporaries, he must be doing something right. So keep up the trajectory. Thank you for another banging album. And that concludes this episode of The After Party. Peace out, y'all.
Goonie Goo Goo.